More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. For years now, Treasure Valley cities have been among some of the fastest growing urban areas in the country. And Idaho isn't alone. Since the late 1700s, there have been identifiable growth spurts in America's population that have sometimes lasted for decades. However, have you ever wondered why population shifts like this suddenly take place? Well, that's a question that Tom Berwald will be answering in his upcoming lecture with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. He's been studying how and why America's metropolitan regions have changed over time, and he's joining us now to talk more. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Gemma. Glad to be with you.
So what first piqued your interest in the evolution of America's urban regions?
I think, I like to say I was born a geographer. I've always been interested in places and locations and how different places relate to each other, how things have evolved over time and so on. And, it wasn't until my sophomore year in college I discovered geography was a legitimate field that actually focused on these kinds of questions and answered. I went on to the University of Minnesota for graduate work and, I had always had a special interest in cities, major cities. Cities and going to Minnesota for the Twin Cities was part of that attraction. While at the U of M, I worked with John Borchert, who a decade earlier had published a landmark study describing how America's metropolitan system, how the set of cities had evolved over time, and he had published that in 1960. I had a chance to work with him while I was there. The topic always was of interest to me, but went on to a professional career that largely was consumed by time, 30 years of service at the National Science Foundation, where I helped oversee research projects and competitions for other researchers. After I retired, relocated here to Idaho about 5 years ago, I had a chance to start thinking about these questions that always intrigued me in the past. And I decided to take a look at Borchert's original work, but try and expand and build on it. And there were six more censuses that I could use data from to monitor these changes over time.
So, like Boise, there are so many American cities that have changed drastically over the years. Can you give us a bit of history on the development of some of the most recognizable regions in our nation and maybe how they've changed over time?
Sure. I think when you talk regions, you're often thinking of, groups of similar places. If you look over starting from the 1790 census, which is our first source of valuable data, for the first half century, roughly, it was the Northeast that was the predominant urban mode. There was also settlement in the South, but the South was delayed in developing big cities. Initially, Boston, New York, Philadelphia were the major metropolitan areas, but that was a time period when the people were largely depending upon water for transport over longer distances, and if shorter distances both within cities and between cities on land, you were essentially relying on legs, either your own legs to walk or those of a horse or oxen to carry wagons or buggies to transport you then. The Northeast was the predominant mode, but then moving over time, we've seen a shift. It wasn't until after the Civil War that the South started to become more prominent in its urban development. The Midwest had preceded it, and then moving to the West, many of the large cities of the West only began to really establish themselves in the latter part of the 19th century, or in some cases, actually Boise being a great example, it's only in the 20th century. We've really seen them grow and develop in significant ways.
So these growth spurts in population are often tied to what you've termed a transition year. So can you tell us what that is and then what innovations have prompted the most change in these areas?
Sure. I think, like I said, originally it was sales and wagons that, were carrying people. In about 1830, we started to move into a new epoch, as I like to call it. I call it the Iron Horse Steamboat Era. And this is our epoch. It's a period when we start applying steam power, first to develop steam boats, but then within a decade, the iron horse, early types of railroads come in. These start to open up land movement over land and make it much more efficient, although even railroads had to have pretty low grades, so they were often restricted to the river valleys that people had previously been using. That carries on until about 1870 or so, when we see steel becoming a predominant material used for all sorts of things. It's used, for example, for steel rails, which allow much higher speed trains. Steel locomotives become the major power to move people over land. We see steel on boats. We see steel helping to raise giant skyscrapers. There's a wide range of ways in which steel is prominent. By the 1920s, we move into a period which might be called the auto amenity epoch. Automobiles have now become more prominent. We're no longer tied to where rails have already been fixed or rivers where boats can transport. We can now run roads through many different parts of the country. Air power also, the internal combustion engine for both cars and cars, trucks, and airplanes becomes prominent. And then we finally moved to 1980. I designated that because it seemed to key to major transitions in electronic media. The use of computers, of telecommunications to greatly enhance the capabilities for people to communicate without having to physically meet in person or move in person. That's the epoch that we're currently in.
So let's talk Idaho, because you've said we have a peculiar urban system. So what does that mean, and how is our state unique?
Yeah, other places, you've got what's often been known as megalopolis, the Boston, Washington metropolitan area. If you look at what the rapid development in Florida that's occurred just within the last half century, roughly, or last century total, it's very much oriented to connections among those cities. In Idaho, we've got five metropolitan areas, the Treasure Valley being the largest. Coeur d'Alene is its own metropolitan area according to the census, but it's clearly tied into the Spokane metro area, which is very much about the same size as Boise. We've also got a string of cities along the I-15 corridor, basically, the upper Snake River Valley, from Pocatello through Blackfoot, Idaho Falls, and then ultimately Rexburg, which is a different configuration of cities. And then we've got Twin Falls and Lewisburg anchoring smaller agricultural areas. These cities, if they weren't part of the state of Idaho, wouldn't necessarily have that much communication with each other. It's because of the peculiar state boundaries, and Idaho is an interesting state, which basically had its boundaries handed to them by all of the surrounding regions, jurisdictions, as territories or states were formed. And as a result, it's kind of a mismatch. There aren't the same strong ties among cities within the state that you find in many other places, but the state itself provides some coherence to that.
So I only have 1 minute left. So very quickly, why have some cities become more prominent than others?
It basically, it's a combination of good fortune and also the timing in which they were developed. The kinds of cities that had emerged very dramatically, Los Angeles, Miami, Atlanta, and so on, wouldn't have been possible in earlier eras. They very much benefited from flexibility that new transportation and electronic media have provided. But you've got your old stalwarts, and they've got a lot of inertia. So the New Yorks, the Chicagos, the Pittsburghs, and so on of the world continue to be very prominent as well. And the American pattern is very much a mix of both the old as it evolved and revolved, plus the new.
Well, I want to thank you so much. This is so interesting. We've been speaking with Tom Berwald about how America's metropolitan regions have changed over the last two decades. Tom will be speaking more about this topic this Wednesday at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute in Boise. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.